This is Conor Lennon from UN News. The global explorer Bertrand Piccard piloted the first balloon to traverse the globe in 1999. And in 2016, he was at the controls of the first plane to fly around the world powered only by the sun, solar impulse. But his next challenge might be his toughest. Mr. Piccard, a goodwill ambassador for the UN Environment Programme, or UNEP, has launched the World Alliance for Efficient Solutions, a not-for-profit project endorsed by UNEP and several other UN agencies. When I met up with him during the high-level week of the General Assembly in the VIP social media studio at United Nations headquarters in New York, he told me what motivates him to continue fighting for a cleaner, less polluted world.
My way to contribute to a better world is to try to show how renewable energies and how clean technologies can achieve impossible goals, like flying around the world in a solar-powered airplane with absolutely no fuel at all. And now there is this new project that I have launched with the Solar Impulse Foundation, which is to identify and select 1,000 solutions that can protect the environment in an economically profitable way. And make a portfolio to bring it to governments, so of course at the United Nations, and to big corporations to show them what is the reality of what we can do today with clean technologies.
So, as you say, very much country-specific. It's not one size fits all.
No, we have to show that there are a lot of solutions, and we have chosen five SDGs, which are water, cities, including mobility, energy, industrial process, and agriculture. And it's fascinating to see how many startups have solutions that are profitable to protect the environment, but how much these solutions are not known. They are hidden in startups, sometimes in research labs or even big corporations, but people don't know them. People cannot really use them because they don't make it to the market. So my goal is to put a label of profitability on these solutions in order to bring them to investors, bring them to the people who need these solutions, and help them to come on the market, because if the regulation becomes aware of all these solutions, there can be a need created by the legal framework, and it will pull all these startups to the market. So we can create jobs, we can make profits, we can create growth, but a clean growth. A clean growth, that means replacing the old polluting stuff by new modern technologies. And this will be the market of the century. And at the same time, the only way to protect the environment.
Well, it's a fascinating, highly ambitious project, much like the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. So are you aligned with this 2030? Have you set yourself a year, a goal, at which point you want to have seen a real change?
You need to set goals for the future, but you need to make the changes already today. Because most of the politicians who speak of 2030 won't be there to be taken accountable of the success or the failure. So what I want to show is that already today, solutions exist. And if you look at the solutions, you see that there is enough technologies today to divide by two the consumption of energy, divide by two the emissions of CO2 in a completely profitable way. So, of course, we need to improve for the future, but we already need to use what exists today. So, for me, it's agenda September 2018.
Now, let's be honest with the viewers. We have been in this situation before. I've worked on Bertrand's fantastic Solar Impulse project for going on 5 years, I think. And I remember two things that were consistent about you that time. Firstly, that you believed that nothing was impossible, and I think you managed to prove that one. And the second was how frustrated and angry you'd get about the negativity surrounding this, the issue of climate change, sustainable development. Have things changed since then? Or do you find that there is more of a proactive, positive environment about what we can do to fight climate change?
Well, I think that the worst problem are the key decision makers who do not care about the environment, who deny the problem of climate change, or are afraid to change, afraid to do something. So instead of fighting against them, I prefer to have the language, use the language of the people I want to convince. And the language is the language of profitability and job creation and growth, and not the language of environment and climate change. So in that sense, the 1,000 solutions that I want to bring to governments can be really useful. It can be good news also for climate change deniers. Because even if there was no problem in the environment, all these solutions actually would be logical. Even for people who are not ecological, these solutions are logical. They save energy, which means they save money. They allow development of more efficient industrial process to be more competitive on the market. It brings possibility for the consumer to reduce their energy bill. It allows new possibilities like desalinization of water with solar power. So it allows more. It allows more. And by the way, it protects the environment. So it's good, but sometimes don't even tell them.
Now, Erik Solheim was speaking a little early today right here, and he was talking about energy. And he said the one biggest change that would make a huge difference, solar energy. It's something you know a lot about. Of all the renewable energies that are out there, solar energy, number one, the price is plummeting.
Yes, the price has gone so much down that today it is sometimes three times cheaper to produce electricity with solar energy than to use coal, gas, or oil. So this is a fantastic thing. But you also have to understand that the world is wasting so much energy with old, outdated, and inefficient systems that you need to introduce more energy efficiency in buildings, in mobility, in the industrial process, in cooling and heating systems. And all this is the big market. The big market for the industry is not only solar. Of course, it's a piece of it. But if you save energy, the renewable energy production will be much sooner enough for the world. But if we waste energy, we'll need to wait much longer until it's enough.
Now, I know you've got very long days every day. I don't want to keep you too long. Just give us a quick rundown of what you're up to over the next few days here at the UN.
Well, the next few days, it's mainly to participate in meetings, in bilaterals, also in big sessions. I was yesterday in the United Nations headquarters for the high-level financing summit of the Secretary General. Oh. Tomorrow it's the One Planet Summit of Michael Bloomberg and Emmanuel Macron. And of course the Climate Week and the World Economic Forum. Well, there are a lot of situations where we can share all these solutions, all these answers. Because the problems, I'm fed up of the problems. I know the problems, everybody knows the problems. Now we have to speak of solutions. So I focus on places where we speak of solutions, when we can bring people together to organize all the arguments that we will need to convince others and make a snowball effect. And we have to give hope to the people. You depress people with problems, you give hope with solutions. And solutions exist, so you have to tell the people now that they have the right to request more environmental friendly products, more clean energy, more supply chain that is cleaner from the industry, from the political world. The people can request more clean products because it's possible to provide these clean products. So you have to work on the people side, on the consumer side, on the production side, but of course on the governmental level, because the governments now have to include all these new technologies into the legal framework in order to go much faster and much faster. And this is what the environment needs, of course, but this is what the industry needs. And there is a really nice example of that is the carbon tax. The countries who don't have a carbon tax don't want it. But the countries who have one, they are asking for even more. And Sweden is a great example. With $140 per ton of CO2, they had an industry that was obliged to be more efficient, to save energy, and now they are more competitive in the export industry, thanks to the carbon tax. So you see how you can reconcile the industry, the economy, and the environment, and this gives hope.
Now, there may be some startup founders here or other people who are thinking, yes, I have a solution I want to tell you about. How can they do that?
Well, if you have a solution that is ready to go on the market, so minimum it has to be a prototype scale 1-to-1, then you can contact the Solar Impulse Foundation. You go on solarimpulse.com and you can submit your solution, and it is assessed by external experts, and then we will put the label if it is profitable, and it can be promoted. We will promote it to investors, we'll promote it to governments, to big corporations, and really help you to make it sooner on the market. And it's a non-for-profit. So this is really my commitment to try to do something useful.
So head to the Solar Impulse Foundation to find out more about that. One more type of renewable energy, I think, is Bertrand Piccard, because you always have so much energy. I don't know how you do it. You keep coming back and
passion,
keeping passionate and keeping people positive about what can be done to fight climate change. Bertrand, thank you very much.
With pleasure, Connor.